This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Brat Bowl. We are live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I am Andy Herman. I am joined by Kevin Holden. And more importantly, not more importantly than Kevin Holden, I guess, but more importantly in general, we are joined by the one and only Zachary Jacobson of PackerReport.com. You can find him on social media at Jacobson. Is it Zach? How the heck are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I changed my handle not too long ago, but I'm great, man. It's great to link up with you again.
It is fantastic. It has been far too long. I'm really excited to be chatting some Green Bay Packers football with you, especially as we head into Packers-Bears. Zach, I did a bold and spicy prediction on the last segment, and I said that in the second half of this season, Jordan Love will throw three or fewer interceptions in the second half. I don't need you to back that up for me, but I do want you to talk about the importance of Jordan Love's second half of this season and what it could potentially mean for this Packers team in the second half.
Yeah, you know what? That's a pretty fair prediction, judging by the way he played in the second half of last year. But I think most importantly with Jordan Love, I think right now the fact that he's getting healthy right before this stretch run, I don't think you can understate that. He's finally going to have a platform underneath him. He's not going to be limping around. He's not going to feel the urge to really abandon the pocket and not trust his legs. Him being upright is so important for this offense and so important for these receivers as well, who – I mean, it takes two to tango, right? These guys didn't catch the football when he gives them the opportunity. So, you know, him being healthy, him being 100%, I feel like that's going to be a game changer because he hasn't truly been himself, I mean, really since the beginning of the season. He had the knee injury that kept him out two games. Then all of a sudden he has a groin injury that pops up and carries over into the game against the Lions where he clearly wasn't 100%. He was still hobbling around. So I don't think this bye week could have come at a better possible time for Jordan Love.
Obviously, Love is looking to make those adjustments in the second half, Zach, and then the defense also doing a similar kind of situation. You've got a first-year defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley. They've made it through nine games. They had a little bit of time to sit, to reassess, to look at what they want to do in the second half. Do you see a step forward coming from this defense after what they've done and what they've had the last couple weeks, the time to reassess?
I don't necessarily see a step forward. I do potentially see a path to them kind of, I mean, they'll be a little better, I feel like. I think, like I said, same with Jordan Love, this bye week came at a perfect time for them to really assess their operations internally and how they were approaching week by week and what they can potentially do differently. I think Preston Smith no longer being there is going to create opportunities now for Brenton Cox and Aaron Mosby, and Matt LaFleur even alluded to that yesterday in his presser. So the opportunities for the young guys, guys who haven't really necessarily been able to put a ton on tape yet, it's going to be exciting to watch. But as far as the defense as a whole, I mean, you can't really ask for much better of a performance in the secondary than the Packers have been playing this season. I mean, they're blitzing on third down. They've been great in third and seven plus situations and getting off the field. It's just that lack of a pass rush really concerns me, and not seeing Rashawn Gary play up to the Rashawn Gary standard that we've seen the last few years. It's concerning. So I don't necessarily see them taking a step forward, but I don't also see them getting worse either.
Well, that'd be it'd be huge if they could take any step forward. But, yeah, I don't think they can really afford for them to get worse at this point. Zach, I don't know what to make of this, and I'm curious your thoughts. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the show, and that's the return of Marshawn Lloyd. I love the fact that he's got fresh legs coming into this team at the right time. But you also have a very crowded running back room where, of course, Josh Jacobs is going to be the guy in that backfield. Christopher Brooks has carved out a role for himself. Emmanuel Wilson's been good when given the opportunity. What kind of impact can Marshawn Lloyd make, and what are your expectations for him the remainder of this season?
You know, the more time that passes, I'm starting to feel like 2024 is going to be a little bit of a redshirt year for Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, there's too many mouths to feed in that backfield right now between Emmanuel Wilson, who has led the preseason in rushing yards the last two summers, consecutive summers, and, like, as you mentioned, Chris Brooks, who was a really nice waiver pickup by Brian Gutekunst at the end of the summer. I think he's stepped in and given them some good things, and obviously Josh Jacobs, the lead kind of guy in that backfield. I don't see an opportunity really for Marshawn Lloyd to fit into that picture. It's also somewhat concerning that it doesn't look like he practiced today. We'll hear more about that from Matt LaFleur a little later, but, you know, 2 days of practice and then sitting out on Friday, that's not really encouraging, especially considering he's been battling multiple injuries since really the beginning of training camp. So we'll see what shakes out with him, but I feel like they're pretty content with their backfield right now, and I can't see a fourth guy really fitting into that picture right now.
So the most futile thing that we did in the 2 hours plus that we've been here together at the – well, other than me trying to keep food away from the equipment, the biggest thing that we have tried to do, we tried to order this Packers receiving core in terms of what the depth chart would look like, who is wide receiver one, who is wide receiver two. And by nature, this group – kind of defies that because of what the team can do with Jaden Reed, all the different things that you can do with him, and the fact that you've got some other gadgetry kind of things you can do with a guy like Tucker Kraft, who goes, you know, over the top and is a tight end. How do you order this group? Do you see a wide receiver 1, 2, 3, 4 in this group?
If Matt LaFleur was listening to us right now, he probably wouldn't be very happy talking about this, but if I had to pick one guy, I mean, at the top of the depth chart, I feel like it's undoubtedly Romeo Doubs. I mean, ever since that suspension, he came back, and he looked like Jerry Rice reincarnated. He's been awesome. He's been fantastic. And, you know, obviously Jaden Reed can do so much more, and he can give you so much more, like, out of the backfield and the slot. I mean, there's been snaps where he's lined up wide. He does literally everything. He's electric when he gets the ball in his hands. But as far as, like, a guy that can kind of really be that third-down security blanket, like a guy that you can really trust,
whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like it's Romeo Doubs. I feel like he's at the top of the pecking order. Then you got Jaden Reed. I feel like Christian Watson is kind of that de facto number three. I mean, I wouldn't really... He's there not because he's done anything spectacular, because don't get me wrong, he is a menace in the running game. He is a fantastic blocker. And people kind of gloss over that just because he's not putting up the gaudy receiving numbers that you would expect from, you know, a former second-round pick. But he's out there, and he is making a difference, whether people want to believe it or not. But I feel like he would be that number three, Dontavian Wicks at four, and they really like what Bo Melton has done in the past 2 years. He's number five, Malik Heath six. I mean, there's just so many different flavors in that room that you really can't go wrong with either option. I mean, when Christian Watson is putting up the gaudy numbers, like you know, you can feel it. You know he's out there making a difference. And just his speed alone to be able to get vertical as quickly as he does, that completely changes what the Packers are able to do on offense. And we've seen that really in the games that he's missed the last couple of years. When they don't have that big-time downfield threat, you know, everything else kind of, I don't want to say falls apart, but it's not functioning at your typical pace that you see from a Matt LaFleur offense. And even going back further, you can make the same argument for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Anytime he was missing from the offense in the last few years of Aaron Rodgers' tenure with the Packers, there was just that big play dynamic that was missing, and you could very much tell.
The thing I love about it is that I feel like if you ask any you know Packers personality, any Packers fan, anyone, like who's the number one wide receiver in Green Bay, they'll all give you like a different answer. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is that, like you said, there are all of these different flavors and they can all give you something different on any given game. We're being joined by Zach Jacobson right now of PackerReport.com. You can find him on Twitter at Zachobson. All right, Zach, I want to give you a two-parter. I want to ask you, number one, what is your biggest surprise of the season so far? And number two, what is your biggest disappointment of the season so far?
Oof. Biggest surprise, I feel like, would be Evan Williams. Just okay. Because I wasn't expecting a rookie to come in right away, especially at a safety position where they signed a guy in the offseason and they drafted Javon Bullard in the second round. I was not expecting Evan Williams to come in right away and make the impact that he has had. I mean, when he was missing from that Lions game, you could tell. And that is such a great testament to how important he has made himself already to this secondary, with how much he's able to do and how just the tenacity he plays with. I mean, he pops out on tape like constantly. You are always looking at Evan Williams. He has been phenomenal, and I think he's definitely been the biggest surprise to me so far. I knew he would be eventually, you know, good, just not this quickly. And the biggest disappointment so far, I feel like you can really go with two answers with this one. I feel like it's either Rashawn Gary or Kenny Clark. You paid those guys big money, and look, don't get me wrong. I fight this stuff on Twitter all the time about people always talking about Rashawn Gary is disappearing. He's just, you know, they paid all his money and he's disappeared. Same as ditto for Kenny Clark. I mean, these guys didn't just forget how to play football. I think people don't understand how difficult it is to really adapt to a widespread scheme change. Regardless of what point in your career that you're in, I mean, Lucas Van Ness, for example, he's had to do two defensive coordinators in the 2 years that he's been in the league. So that's not easy to overcome. That's not easy to kind of just move past and to get along with. I mean, it's rough. The same can be said for these veteran guys. So Rashawn Gary hasn't really disappeared. He also didn't forget how to play football. Same with Kenny Clark. It's a scheme change where these guys are being asked to do different things. And sometimes the stunts don't work. Sometimes they're just not able to get home. It really is a good thing the Packers secondary has been on point this year, because this defense could potentially rival how bad they were in 2011. That year they were very dependent on turnovers, and it feels like somewhat this year the Packers defense has kind of been dependent on turnovers as well. But across the board, they're just so much more stout. They play so much more quickly. No pass rush, though. It's really hurting them, and You need Rashawn Gary to step up. You need Kenny Clark to step up. These are the two kind of really, you know, pivotal pieces of your defense that you need to kind of steer the ship, and they haven't been there.
True or false, it's much more difficult for the Packers to prepare for the Bears offense this week because of the new offensive coordinator and because of the new thought process. I suppose you can go in either direction, right? Because I think you know what the Bears want to do differently, but does it change how you prepare? Does it make it more difficult to prepare this week?
I'm going to say it does. I'm going to say that definitely makes things a lot more difficult, just because, I mean, look, you know, the Bears are kind of in rock bottom right now. You know, they're the rookie quarterback they spent a haul for and drafted high in the first round is looking like a, I don't want to call him a bust. That would be very short-sighted of me. He has so much football left to be played, but he doesn't look very good so far aside from maybe a three-game stretch. He has struggled. Some of the same issues in college have persisted, and he struggled, to put it short. They fired their offensive coordinator. They are on a losing streak. Things aren't looking good in Chicago right now. But a lot of times when teams make these in-season coaching changes, and I told this to somebody else a couple days ago, I feel like it invigorates the rest of the team. It kind of really gets them just hyped, you know, and it's rough because the Packers don't know what to expect. Well, they kind of do from Thomas Brown. He was he was in Carolina last year when the Packers went and played the Panthers and barely squeaked that one out. But the Packers don't necessarily know what to expect right now. So they're kind of not getting thrown through a loop, but it's rough to prepare for something like that. You don't know. It's a totally different organization, totally different players. And this guy that you have a little bit of experience with is coming in, and now he's the offensive coordinator, and he's going to be in charge of running the show. You don't know what that's going to look like. They could look like the greatest show on turf on Sunday. You never know. And I compare it sometimes to when a backup quarterback gets thrown into a game. They look amazing. They are lighting it up. They look phenomenal. And you start thinking like, wow, did we just witness a Brett Favre Magic Man situation? Did we find our Brett Favre? Is this our guy? And then the next week they go back to being just terrible. So it's kind of in that realm for me. I think it's rougher for the Packers right now to prepare for the unknown.
I think it is too. I think that the Packers' job this weekend is to make sure that they stay the pumpkin, that they don't turn into a Cinderella this week and then turn into a pumpkin the following week. I think they need to make sure that they continue to keep the foot on the gas and just make sure that Chicago gets no momentum in this game. I talked earlier this week. I'm like, I don't even care if the Packers win 77-7 in this game. If the Bears go down and score the opening touchdown of the game, like get the ball and go down and score a touchdown, I'm still gonna just lose my mind. Of like this Bears team can't score touchdowns at all. And they're going to go down and score right away. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I am interested to see what this Bears team does look like with a new offensive coordinator. Again, we're talking to Zach Jacobson of PackerReport.com. All right, Zach, as we sort of get to our predictions and final thoughts on this game, what are your keys to this game and what you're going to be watching for?
Yeah, well, my keys to this game, I mean, number one, it's the pass rush. I mean, Caleb Williams was sacked 9 times last week, was
yep.
it? I mean, he was getting beat up. And I feel like this is an opportunity for the Packers to really capitalize on that they might be missing Tevin Jenkins. I know he didn't practice on Thursday. We'll kind of see what it looks like today on Friday. But
he is listed as out. He's listed as out. They did put their injury report out. Yep, so Jenkins is out.
Ooh, I missed that. Okay, yeah, so Tevin Jenkins is out. That's a big opportunity. They're missing one of their tackles. You know, that's a big opportunity for the Packers to really step up and kind of get their pass rush, you know, back on track. And my second key to the game is just getting the running game going. It's as simple as that, because so much of what the Packers do on offense stems from how well they run the football and how much success they have on the ground. Now, you mentioned you laid out the scenario that if the Bears go down and score the first 7 points, and you know that would be pretty demoralizing, I feel like. We've seen a couple times this year where the Packers get punched in the mouth and they answer right back, which feels like a far cry from how they kind of responded to some of the earlier games in Matt LaFleur's tenure as the head coach, so that's encouraging. But the Packers need to get the ground game going. They need to establish the run, and they can't do that if they're trailing. They were trailing early against the Vikings, and Josh Jacobs was running the ball well. They had to get away from the running game. You can't really establish the run when you're down 2 scores.
Right.
Same in the Lions game. In the first half, Josh Jacobs had 89 yards on 10 carries, and they had to get away from him just because they were down by so much. You can't run the football when you're trailing that badly. So if the Packers somehow stumble into a position where they're trailing that badly to the Bears by 2 scores or 3 scores or what have you, then they're going to be in trouble. They are going to be in big trouble. That run game is critical for this offense.
Yeah, I think so too. As we wrap up here, Zach, what's your final prediction for this one?
I think the Packers win. I believe I told someone else. I think it was 27-14 was the score I picked. I think it's going to be a little too close for comfort for most of the game, but I think the Packers pull away near the end.
I love it. I will take it. I don't love giving up 2 touchdowns, but I'll allow it if Packers pick up a 27-14 win. Zach, where can we find all of your incredible work, my friend?
Yeah, I am over at PackerReport.com, and you can find me on Twitter at ZACOBSON, or as Andy would put it, Zacobson.
I don't know if it's Zacobson. I'll take either one, but I appreciate you a ton, Zach. You're the absolute best. I'm just glad that Twitter's not making you change it every, like, a month now, as they were at one point. So we can all be very thankful for that. You're the absolute best. Thanks so much for joining, my friend. We'll make sure to do this again very, very soon. Make sure to follow him again on social media at ZACOBSON. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line, 414-677-1250. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the Broad Stop in Kenosha, empowered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.